Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Show me the money.
Show you the money.
Oh, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it what you would mean it, brother. Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, no. Show you the money.
Not show you. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yes. Louder.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again on the Thursday night 8 p.m. And here, if you're sitting here, you know what time it is. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I'm joined, as always, by my esteemed co-host, my fellow Jersey guy, Jeff the Joker, and we make up two-thirds of the team of the FSP Crew Show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff or me. We also have a chat room open that's sitting out there. If you want to join us in this conversation today, jump in that chat room if you don't want to jump on the telephone line and converse with us. Ask a question, statement, make a comment. It's going to be all the way live and about money and players moving in the NFL. There's only one thing I want to talk about tonight, along with my crew, along with my esteemed founder of all these stations, Victor Gardner, is also joining us. We want to talk about the NFL and the crazy week, in fact, 2 weeks, really, that's been going on in the NFL. Talk about NFL free agents, NFL trading, and Chip, my man, Chip Kelly, and what I've been texting forever to these guys is he's not done yet. Without further ado, let's bring my two co-hosts for this show right now, Jeff and then Vic. Welcome, guys.
Hey, Jerry. What's going on?
Shalom.
Oh, man. I hear you. I don't even know where to start. You know, let's start here. You know, I know that you guys are chomping out the bit to start at what happened today, but I want to start with the first guy, the number one guy that finally got signed after much trepidation and probably a little hand squeezing because it took so long to come to fruition. This is Thursday. It only got done yesterday when we thought he was going to immediately sign on Tuesday. I'm talking down in the down south in Finn country, where a man from Detroit decided to take his talents, that's a LeBron-esque, take his talents down to Miami and play for the Miami Dolphins. And I'm talking about the none other the big boy, who signed a six-year deal, $114 million, $60 million, and I said million dollars guaranteed. I'm talking about the Dominic Sue. I want you guys to give me your thoughts before we go any further. We're going to talk about a lot of these guys. It may go over the hour, so who can ever hang with me, or I'll talk by myself, but I want to talk about a lot of these guys, and then Dominic Seuss, the first one. Talk to me, Jeff, and then Vic, and I bring in the other co-host.
Well, a man named Sue, they overpaid, of course, but, you know, you're not going to get a guy like a talent like Sue for $12 an hour or whatever. But, you know, I think he's the real deal. I mean, the only games he's ever missed were because of suspensions, and that comes with a little risk, going to be at Albert Haynesworth. That's the kind of guy you don't want to invest in. At least Sue, he's never had problems off the field, and he's going to freak things up for the rest of that defensive line. I actually like that signing. I mean, I don't like to invest that much in a defensive lineman, but Sue is one of the few worthy of that type of investment.
Before you answer, Cameron Wake is doing a shake. I'm telling you right now, he's dancing in the streets with Dominic Sue coming out to help on that front line. Talk to me, Vic.
Why do you like stealing my thunder? Yeah, thunder stealer. I was going to say the same thing, but you know what? Cameron Wake, along with the linebacking core of the Miami Dolphins, are going to be killer IDPs this year. Miami's defense might even become a killer IDP. Just imagine how much better this makes Brett Grimes.
Yep.
And the other cornerback.
Yep.
You have to understand that House of Flying Spears, that's what Sue's, and Dominican Sue's name means. He's actually said when he first came out of Nebraska. He impacts the entire defense. It's another linebacker. Oh, Vernon, the DN, Vernon Olivier, I believe that's his name. He was already making tons of sacks. What's going to happen now? Now, here's the downside to this deal, guys. It does not help the offense. This kid, God bless his soul, pop gun arm quarterback, isn't going to get it done. They need a running back. I know Miller's there, but Miller's not going to keep Ndamukong Suh and the rest of that defense on the sideline so they can rest up. You know, if they're going to get rid of Mike Wallace, who else is going to throw to? Brian Hartline just signed a deal in Cleveland. So they've got Jarvis Landry, I believe, young, upcoming cat, solid guy. But if you get rid of Wallace, that means your number one is now a second-year pro. Speedster. Not a big guy, but speedster. So I look at this signing of Ndamukong Suh and say, oh, Nelly, I'm going to get me some IDPs from Miami. I might even get their defense. But the organization, better, and I mean better, draft well this upcoming draft, because it better go straight offense. It needs straight offensive help. And I mean get a big arm quarterback, running back they can develop, and another big wide receiver. That's all I have to say about that, other than, you know, damn good deal. Wish it were me. Sorry it's not.
Okay, before I bring in my other esteemed co-host, let me say a couple things. First of all, just look at the AFC East and what Brady and company have to deal with now. You got Buffalo Bills. But the Buffalo Bills, who have one of the best pass rushers and really have one of the best defenses, complete defenses in the league. You got the Miami Dolphins, who shored up their defense with just Dominic Sue, which is going to be a big help. And then you also have the Jets, who've got two of their cornerbacks back, along with Buster Skrin from Cleveland, who shore up that backside of that defense, which was their weak link. And Tom Brady and company, I know it's the Super Bowl champions. I know it's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and they always find a way, but it's going to be a lot more difficult in the AFC East. I mean, each one of these teams are going to knock each other off because their defenses, except for the Patriots, are a lot better than they were last season. So it's going to be very interesting in the AFC East. And let's bring in my long-lost co-host. I haven't talked to him in a little bit. And I'm glad to see him jumping on here because there's a lot of things to talk about. And I want him to talk about Dominic Sue before we get to the other free agents and the other things that have been going on in the league. Talk to me, Black. Welcome tonight.
Fellas, what's going on? Your brother has missed you, man.
Hey, welcome back, buddy.
Nah, CNB ain't for real. CNB ain't nobody's brother's keeper. I'm Ice Cube. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, first off, I'm in a state of mourning. I went through this through the 90s when Chris Webber and Rasheed Wallace left with bullets. And now my boy DeMarco is the turncoat, man. I can't believe it. But I love the Dominic Sue sign of Miami. That defense is going to be nice. Vic, you're talking about IDPs. You don't know how to play fantasy football, so don't worry about those IDPs.
Hey, you know what? Hey, I am a former parlay college champion. So you take those words back.
hey, Black, all you have to do is tell them every now and then a squirrel does find a nut. So that's all right.
But yeah, I definitely love the move, man. I'm sure Cameron Wake probably was the first person in church when he heard that thing. It's going to be a great, great, man. That whole division is going to be awesome to watch this season. I can't wait.
Yep. In my opinion, going into fantasy, at least three of those defenses, I don't know too much about how well the New England Patriots defense is going to be. But those other three defenses, if you are a person that likes to stream defenses, you try to grab one of those defenses each week, especially against some of these weaker teams. They're going to dominate quite a bit. So fantasy drafters, fantasy football drafters, just keep in mind the Jets, the Buffalo Bills, and the Miami Dolphins as some of the top defenses, especially against some of these weak sisters. In the league, they're going to absolutely destroy him. It's not going to be pretty. Let me put it that way. Anyway, speaking of one of the defenses that we're talking about, my former team, and I shouldn't be surprised because they tagged one of the best. No. Stop. You're trying to be funny. My former team, I shouldn't be surprised. Because they grabbed one of the best guys in the organization from the Texans, Mike Maccagnan, to head the front office. And one of the best, I think, he hasn't proven himself completely, but I think he's going to be a very good coach. And they're assembling a very good team. Decided to pick up a long-lost son by way of Tampa through New England. He's finally back. Yes, people, New York Jets and New York media and fans of the New York Jets have been going absolutely crazy because Darrell Revis has come back, and he said it himself, and I'm just not saying it. He says, I've come home, signing a 5-year contract with $70 million and $39 million fully guaranteed. And he quite naturally teaming up with his former teammate when they were previously at the Jets, Antonio Cromartie. So, along with Buster Skrin and the front four or front seven of the defense, it's going to be a very formidable defense. I'm going in reverse order this time. I'm asking Black and then Vic and then Jeff, your thoughts. Darrell Revis.
I'm glad you're going in reverse order because I'm going to ask the million-dollar question. Revis is back. Cromartie is there now. Are you back?
No. 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 Let me tell you something. My brother, and my brother, God bless him, and he had the nerve to do this. My brother, who was a Kansas City Chiefs fan for the longest, and I think about 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago, switched allegiances to the New York Giants, text me a couple days ago, well, after Darrelle Revis got signed, and asked me if I was reverting back to the Jets. And I gave him an emphatic no, and all three of you guys, I'm giving you an emphatic no. No, I'm not going back.
That is a lie.
That's not going back. No, that's not going back. Talk to me, Black. What do you think of this?
It's a great move by the Jets. I like what they're doing also with their defense. But let me not get into that right now. Since you denied the $1 million question, let me ask you the $500,000 question. Will you follow
sure.
your boy to the Indianapolis Colts then?
That's a sore subject. A very sore subject. I could see the handwriting on the wall when they released him where he was going to go. I mean, it was a no-brainer to me. To me, it was a no-brainer that he was going to go and stay in the division and just go against a division rival. And the worst one they could go to, which is one of the better quarterbacks in the league, Andrew Luck. So I'm not looking forward to the two times we face them because I can best believe they have a rivalry already. Now they got more incentive because a future Hall of Famer is playing on their team, and they're going to want to spank the Texans royally every time they play the Texans. So I'm not looking forward to it. I think he had a lot left. I don't know the mindset of Bill O'Brien when he did that, especially when Ryan Mallett was Andre Johnson's favorite quarterback last year that he really liked. And he pushed Mallett to get into the lineup. That's why he started. I'm not feeling Andre Johnson really going to the Colts, but I have no control of that. It is what it is. Just move on with DeAndre Hopkins, who I told you guys when he first got into the league he was going to be a beast. And he's the number one now, and then we just have to see what we get in the draft because that's where we have to get the rest of the wide receivers. Talk to me, Black. Darrelle Revis.
Yeah, the Revis, look, man, he has probably one of the greatest agents
yep.
in sports. I mean, how does this guy just keep getting Mike's money? I don't know how he does it, but he has one of the greatest agents. I like the Jets move on defense. The offense, to me, still leaves something to be desired, but they should definitely be in playoff contention this season.
Victor.
Okay. Sean Gilbert, former Washington Redskin. I believe he's also Darrelle Revis' uncle or something like that. I know he was his agent for a while. I don't know if he's still his agent. The deal is this. I honestly think that the Jets are trying to give Todd Bowles the best possible chance to prove that he is a top-flight head coach.
Yep.
You give him Brandon Marshall to pair with Eric
yep.
Decker. You jettison Percy Harvin, and you re-sign, I think, Bilal Powell. And
yes.
He's going to be a number two running back. You let Chris Johnson go, who got shot in a drive-by
yep.
a couple days later. You know, you bring in Cromartie and Revis, bringing those two back, get with a head coach that is just as vicious and as aggressive as Rex Ryan was in Todd Bowles. You shore up that linebacking core by re-signing Harris, and I believe they had a DNA re-sign, if I'm not mistaken. The Jets are for real, and listen to me. I'm not joking when I say this. I think Black's question to you, Jerry, was a legitimate question. Why?
Yeah, I know.
Because right now, and I jokingly said this a while ago, but the Jerry Jinx seems like it's real. You leave the Jets, you go to a Texans, and the real thing happens. So stay with the Texans for a while, and let's see what happens with the Jets, and then you'll switch to the Jets, and they'll start losing again. But just don't become a Redskins fan. Now, the deal is Darrelle Revis is not, and I'm going to say this again, is not the best cornerback in the NFL.
Who is?
However, he is the best man-to-man cover cornerback in
the
NFL.
That's the key.
Man to man. Because in a zone, that's why he did not survive or work out in Tampa with Lovie Smith.
Right.
He's not a read guy. He is a reactionary guy. Let him go beat up the core of the receiver and then come up and make a play. Don't give him a zone to take care of because it's not going to work for him. He's going to seem ineffective because he's in his zone. The deal is this. It could work out better for him. He's an older guy. I don't know if you guys knew this, but by the time his contracts are over, without the extra money and only the guaranteed money, within a five-year period, this man would have made $159 million.
Yeah, I knew that.
In guarantees.
Yep.
In guarantees. Now, as you pointed out, Jerry, the defense of Tom Brady will have to see from here on out. There will be no picnic. They will not be the AFC East champions again. I'm going to think, I know I've been saying it for the past couple of years, but look, the writing is on the wall. It is on the wall. Now, just think about this. Think about this, and I know it hasn't happened yet. What if Vince Wilfork signed with the Jets? That's trouble. I think he's going to sign with Indianapolis, but that would be trouble. So the signing of Darrelle Revis solidifies that defense. And right now, only person that has a question mark is Geno Smith. There's no room for Todd Bowles to falter with this team unless it's on Geno's shoulders. That's what I see with the signing of Revis as well as Cromartie and the additions on offense. I really think Revis, it points out what they're going to go man-to-man maybe 70% of the game. That's the only reason why you sign Revis, because you want to go man-to-man. So with that being said, I think Jerry's going to go back to his J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 in a year or so, maybe while I'm in Korea, because he switched to the Texans while I was in Germany, and now that I'm going to Korea, maybe he'll switch back to the Jets.
I'm not going back. What's your thoughts, Jeff?
In case any you guys know me, but in case anyone didn't know, from the New York area, I'm a Giant fan, not a Jet fan. I don't hate the Jets. I'm neutral. I don't like them either. It's just, you know, and I probably know a little bit more about the Jets than the other NFL teams, but I don't root for them usually. The only thing, if the Jets are in the playoffs, since I know a lot of Jet fans, I think, well, I'd be happy for them if they get to experience, you know, a little happiness. But I'll tell you, many times in recent years, I've thought, you know, Jets are trying to win the headlines, not games. And some of the guys they've signed in the past in the offseason have not been that great. And what does Dr. Phil say? Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining or something like that, you know?
Right.
Like Eric Decker. I mean, last year they went into the year with lousy wide receivers and lousy corners. And, I mean, Decker isn't a bad player, but he's not a number one NFL receiver, and that became very clear. And they've made a lot of other signings like that. He's just the most recent. And I'm very impressed with the guys they've signed, the guys they've brought back, the trade for Brandon Marshall. Very impressed. And then the big issue is quarterback, which, you know, there's just the real talent usually is not available. And, I mean, I think with an improved talent around him, I think they could win with Fitzpatrick at quarterback. I mean, I know he's not a great player. I think he's better than Geno Smith. It's not saying much. But to me, bringing in Fitz makes a lot more sense than using a high draft pick on Winston or Mariota, neither of whom I think is going to be a good NFL quarterback. And if they are, it won't be year one. So who knows? I mean, this is, you know, a ways off. Imagine if they draft first guy to come to mind, like somebody like an Amari Cooper, that receiver from Alabama, and he should be an impact. And if not, hopefully he'll be great by the time Brandon Marshall is way past his prime. That looks to be a pretty good team. I don't think they need Will Fork because their front seven was very good last year. And,
yes, very.
I mean, I know there's a lot of new pieces, new coaching staff, et cetera, et cetera. I'll tell you, Rex Ryan has got to be up there in Buffalo saying, hey, how come they didn't do this last offseason? You know,
exactly.
Because he got screwed because I don't care. I mean, you could be Vince Lombardi. If you don't have players, there's only so much you could do. And, you know, Rex, he got another job. I don't know if Vidzik has another job. That GM, he really messed it up for them last year.
Oh, I agree with that. And it two words that how Rex got screwed. John Idzik, who quite naturally is no longer there, and the realization that would he need to spend some money and get the right person or people in there to handle or manage the players and the money. Anyway, let's move on to the next one. This guy, it's up in the air whether he went to a better place. I know it's the worst team, but a better place for his skills to be exploited more than quite naturally. I don't know how much more they could be exploited, but more and be used more than he was in Denver. He scored, 12 touchdowns or something like that last year and maybe 10 the year before that. I'm talking about the tight end that was formerly from the Broncos, and now he's going to be playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars, who signed a 5-year contract with $24 million guaranteed and is getting $9.2 million over 5 years, Julius Thomas. How effective do you think Julius Thomas is going to be? And was this a good move? I know it's probably a good move, as people see it, for the Jaguars. But is this a good move for Julius Thomas? Did he just go after the money that was just the bottom line? Jeff? Vic and then Black.
You know, I mean, it looks like a very good move for Jacksonville. I mean, they got a lot of needs, so you can't go wrong. And I think there's probably a lot of guys who don't want to play there, but
no blocking there. He doesn't block.
Yeah, that's a problem. But you know, Blake Bortles is still developing, and usually those young quarterbacks, they like to throw it to the tight end a lot. So the knock on Thomas is he's not the most durable, and also when he is banged up, he's not as good at playing through it. So that's a knock on him. But you know, who knows? He could have a big year in Jacksonville if he could stay healthy and stay productive. And as far as the money goes, I don't think he was a high pick, so this might be his one shot. You can't blame a guy because the thing is, you know, everybody likes to talk about Revis in particular, you know, holding out and, you know, trying to get every dollar. But, you know, the same fans, when, you know, a few years after the guy retires, if he goes bankrupt, everybody says, yeah, what a dummy. How did he go broke? You know, because when they're done, when they're really done, nobody's going to give them anything. So they
right,
got a
right.
limited window. And my thing is, I'd rather see the players get it than see it stay with the owners. So
that's true.
You know, yeah, I don't know. I thought that was an interesting signing. And like in many situations, I'm sure the Broncos would have liked to have kept them, but you can't keep everybody. And that explains the Jimmy Graham trade. You know, I don't think they wanted to, but they had to be able to have enough money to, you know, pay Drew Brees and other players.
We'll get to that. What about you, Victor?
I mean, I agree exactly with what our buddy here, the Joker, just said. I was going to use the same instance with Jimmy Graham, but I believe Julius Thomas made a bad decision. Yes, he's going to be with a young team, but still trying to find a running game. I don't know if they're going to try to draft one or they're going to make a trade for one. I mean, Philly has three of them. They might as well get one. But you pair him with Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes is not the best blocking tight end. But now Mercedes becomes the number two tight end.
And Thomas is no blocking tight end either.
Exactly. So when they're both in there, along with Marquise Lee and the other young wide receivers, you know they're passing. You know it because nobody's blocking. And they don't have a running game to speak of. So my problem with this is the young man, as Jeff alluded to, has a small window. And his small window is now, so he took the money. Is it the best thing to do? Probably not. Oakland, in my opinion, would have been a better situation for him. Now, Seattle wanted him first. Seattle got a better tight end, in my opinion. But that's who wanted him first, and they lost out on him, so they went to Plan B. I think it would have been better off if Julius would have went to Seattle, still a young team, but they've been to the Super Bowl two times in the past 2 years, probably going to go back again this year. I know we're going to talk about Jimmy Graham, but that just made me say, God, how does the rich keep getting richer? Paul Allen, you suck. But Julius Thomas, I think he just made a business decision. He could have gone other places, but I don't think that was the best move for him.
What's your thoughts on this, Black?
Great move for Julius, man. Get your money while you can. In the NFL, not for long lead. I mean, you don't know Peyton Manning is going to finish out the season. Didn't finish out, what, past 2-3? You don't know if he's going to keep giving you those passes and touchdowns. As soon as Manning got hurt, a lot of those touches went away. And then Julius got hurt. So if you're going to get hurt in this league, you got to get paid for it, man. So I think it was a good move for Julius.
Okay.
And we're going to eat some pot roast in D.C. I just thought I'd throw that in there. We're eating some pot roast. But
well, speaking of D.C., speaking of the NFC East, Chip Kelly, everybody was on. I was getting texts left and right. We were texting each other left and right, and all I kept on saying was Chip Kelly's not done yet. He's not done yet. Don't underestimate Chip Kelly. He's not done yet. And he trades away LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso. He lets Jermaine Macklin walk and go to Kansas City. He releases Trent Cole. He releases Todd Harriman. And I'm trying to think. He releases what's the DB that he released that went to? I think he went to Seattle.
Williams,
if I'm not mistaken.
Kerry Williams.
Thank you, Kerry Williams. And Black sent me a video of a Philadelphia fan that I was just laughing my butt off at. Philadelphia Eagles fan that was going absolutely berserk because of the things that Chip Kelly was doing and over again, and it didn't seem like it made any sense. They said that the Ryan Matthews was going to sign. Ryan Matthews did sign. And you got Ryan Matthews, you got Byron Maxwell from the Seattle Seahawks, and then you land the leading rusher of the NFL last year, who had over 400 touches, 392 of them were carries, DeMarco Murray, who signed a $40 million deal with $20 million guaranteed today, about an hour and a half ago, and I don't know. I haven't heard Philadelphia fans up in airs about this because the fact is they got, and check this out, they got one of the best backfields, in my opinion, in the NFL. They got DeMarco Murray. They got Ryan Matthews. They got Darren Sproles. And little known guy, but he's not a bad back in Chris Polk. They got four backs that that Chip Kelly can use. Now, I understand they don't have wide receivers, but I keep on saying the same thing. Chip Kelly's not done yet. And he talked about it in his press conference that he had on the NFL Network, that he's thinking about getting his wide receivers because he says there's a good group of wide receivers coming out in the draft, and he's thinking about doing that in the draft, grabbing his wide receivers. So he wants a young team. He wants a team with a lot of energy, and his sports science that he's trying to get guys to buy into, and his way of doing things, which is not the traditional way of the NFL, and he's not trying to be a copycat, and he's trying to go outside the box. And a lot of you get people who are used to traditional things that the NFL does are criticizing for. He's not done yet, and I'm not a Chip Kelly fan, but I can see what he's trying to do, and he is going for it all now and not waiting 2 or 3 years down the line. And without even saying about Sam Bradford, but I'm digressing because I want to talk about DeMarco Murray leaving Blacks, Dallas Cowboys, and going to their rival in the NFC East, the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm debating whether I want Black to start off or I want to end this. You know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to the other NFC East teams and then talk to Black about this. So I'm going to Jeff first and then Victor and then Black, who represent in this order the Giants, the Redskins, Cowboys. Talk to me, guys.
All right. I mean, a lot of these moves, and this has been going on for a long time, seem to be inside the division, which, you know, not only, if you sign a good player, not only is that helping your team, it's hurting your rival. I know some Dallas Cowboy fans like Black, and there's many others, and that Cowboys line is so good. And they just re-signed Doug Free. That didn't get a lot of publicity. If they keep that line together, sure, they lose Murray, but any good running back can get yards behind that line. And that's happened in the NFL before, you know. That's a real good, solid way to build a team. With Chip Kelly, you know, all the experts were saying you know, he wasn't going to win any NFL, and he had 2 10-6 seasons, which is pretty good. But, man, he's really going out on a limb with this. Those Philly fans are tough. They're probably egging his house right now. But if he could keep winning, because it's like he's got some kind of fetish for injury-prone players, you know? I mean, yeah, he'll be lucky to get 16 games between Matthews and Murray, and then he brings in Sam Bradford, who can't brush his teeth without getting hurt. And, I heard Bradford was on the trading block, and I'm thinking nobody's going to trade for him because they don't want that contract. But I knew if he got cut, teams would give him a look, but they weren't. Nobody sane was going to give up something good for him and pay him that money. The thing is, I mean, so far Chip Kelly has looked pretty smart, and now he's got a lot of leash with Philly being able to make deals. But if they don't produce this year, it can get ugly. And one more thing, I think right before the show started, it's just been so many moves you can't keep up. Dwayne Bowe got released. I don't think they're interested in Bowe. But if they want to bring in a veteran receiver, he might be a guy. But Kelly doesn't like guys who speak their mind, and I think that's the reason he got rid of certain guys.
Talk to me, Victor.
As a Washington Redskins fan, it phases me not that DeMarco Murray left the Dallas Cowboys, because the word is they're interested in C.J. Spiller. C.J. Spiller is a very talented back when healthy. But that also brings me to pause about who Jerry Jones is going to draft. He needs to get rid of both of his corners and get two top corners. You don't have any in this draft. You don't have one or two corners in this draft that, in my opinion, deserve to be picked in the first round. Now, you get C.J. Spiller, stopgap guy for 3 or 4 years. But that also means to me that they're going to get either Gurley or Gordon or Abdullah. Jerry Jones won't let it go. I mean, he might want AP, he might want somebody else, but in the meantime, and in between time, he's going to, you know, suffer. The Cowboys, if they don't find a suitable replacement, not just a guy that can run the ball, but a suitable replacement and run the same game plan like they did this year, the Cowboys will suffer because of this loss. Now, on the flip side of it, I think the timeshare between DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews is going to be, like, if they run the ball 30 times a game, 15-15. Okay? Then Darren Sproles catches all the third down passes. Whether it's fresh legs or it's whether on production or whether it's, you know, whatever. I think it's, for longevity purposes, a good move for DeMarco Murray. Ryan Matthews as well, because both of them are injury prone. Murray said that we're convinced, because he wasn't going to the Eagles at first. He wasn't. He was going to take that big payday and either go to the Raiders or the Jaguars. But his OU classmate, Sam Bradford, called him up and said, come on, and he changed his mind and he went. Again, you guys know I attend OU. The difference is, at OU, they did not win a national championship. They did not even come close to winning a national championship. They were good, but with both of them together, they did not win a national championship. So I really don't think that's going to change in the pros. And some of the key guys that blocked for Shady McCoy last year have been released by Chip Kelly. Some people say, you know, signing to Murray and Matthews makes him look smarter. I think, yeah, quite possibly, if he trades one of them during the draft to move up to get what he wants. I know the Raiders still want DeMarco Murray. They got Roy Helu, good back to offset Latavius Murray, but they want DeMarco Murray. Is Chip willing to pull that trigger to trade him away to get Mariota and maybe a couple extra picks? I wouldn't put it past him. This man is all about the business, and this is the prime example as to why athletes need to look out more for their business interests than their loyalties to the organization. And I think that's somewhat what DeMarco did. And one big point, one very big point, Jeff didn't bring up, and I'm surprised he didn't. Murray said in his answer to one of the questions, why Philly, he said he felt as though, the question was, so why did you leave Dallas to come to Philly? His response was, I felt I had a better chance of winning a Super Bowl here. That speaks volumes about the state of the Dallas Cowboys and what's going on there. That you leave a team that had everything clicking last year, if not for a call that a lot of people say was a catch, but was ruled an incompletion. Dallas
was a catch.
Would have been, I don't think it was, but I'm glad they ruled that it wasn't. But
it was a catch.
Had that been, no one. Had they ruled it a catch, no one. Had they ruled it a catch, the Cowboys, in my opinion, would have been playing in the Super Bowl as opposed to Seattle. That is my opinion. But, hey, he has his reasons for leaving. And Jerry's going to have to think about other things than wanting to catch. Go ahead, Black.
All right, our resident Dallas Cowboy fan, Mr. Black, Mike, talk to me.
Actually, I was talking about Philly, and I don't know how that swung around to the Cowboys and what they're doing. Not the top of the Philly right now.
We're talking about DeMarco Murray. DeMarco leaving the Cowboys and going to Philly. What's your thoughts?
Oh, man, I wish DeMarco nothing but luck, man. He's a very productive member of the Cowboys. Sad day for me as a Cowboys fan to see him walk out, but as always, a strap for money, man, so we can't do it. I'd like to see him out there. I actually like what Chip is doing as a piggyback on what the Master is saying. I know I was clowning Chip, but he's sneaky good what he's doing right now. He's getting rid of everybody that didn't do anything. I mean, yeah, LeSean McCoy was good. Deshaun Jackson was good. Malcolm was good. But those guys didn't bring you a championship. They took you to a couple of championship games, but, I mean, that was the limit there. They couldn't do anything else besides set them free, get a new program going. And he didn't start on offense. He started the assignments on defense, which is key. If he's going to need a stout defense with playmakers to run that type of philosophy that he's got going out there. So I want to see the rest of the moves he's going to make this offseason. But definitely
right,
a good move for DeMarco.
Right. I'm not going to talk about Byron Maxwell. I'm not going to talk about Torrey Smith because even though they're free agents, in my opinion, they're not really big free agents, in my opinion. I want to talk about a free agent that, and we're going to talk about some other ones, but this one really fascinated me because this guy was only 27 years old. Only 27 years old. I'm talking about a free agent from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was an outside linebacker. And because of his religion, he was a Jehovah's Witness. I think he wanted to dedicate more time to his religion, the Jehovah's Witness, and decided to retire at 27. I'm going to go to Jeff, then Victor, and then Black. Give me your thoughts on that one.
Well, I want to add, there's three other retirements, Jake Locker,
right.
And Patrick Willis. I mean, Patrick Willis looked like he was having a Hall of Fame career. He still might make it there. But I guess, you really got to be focused to play in the NFL. And if your heart isn't in it, it's hard to do. But, a lot of young guys retiring. And, I respect these guys because, good players could stick around for at least a year going through the motions and getting paid for it. So I respect these guys for it. And,
right.
I hope they're happy.
Victor.
I don't think Worrells felt any need or any obligation to the NFL. He made millions of dollars, and now he can go out and use that millions of dollars to speak about his life in the NFL, as well as spread the Jehovah's Witness message. Much like Napoleon Kaufman, who's out here in the Bay Area, has one of the biggest churches here. I was speaking to one of my current military friends, and I learned something about him. This is kind of a sidetrack, but this guy told me he was a crackhead for like 10 years before joining the military. And he wouldn't listen to any of the other churches or any of these other televangelists because some of them either were sons of rich men or whatever that decided to join the clergy to preach, or some are ex-cons that come in and speak, learn about God, start doing it. But he would listen to Napoleon Kaufman because Napoleon Kaufman came from nothing, made his way to the NFL, left on his own terms to start preaching God's word, and he's not doing it for a paycheck. I think that's a situation with Worrell. He wants to give back in his faith to everybody. If I'm not mistaken, Arizona had him lined up for a big contract, and he walked away from it. Jake Locker probably walked away because he wanted to be a starting quarterback, but no one was going to have him as that. He was going to be a journeyman, and, his heart probably wasn't in it. I forget the other person, the younger person that retired. But at the same time, you got to applaud some of these guys. They're walking away with all their limbs intact, millionaires, and still able to live a long life, do another job. Remember, I joined the military at 27. I'm going to retire at 47. These guys can do something else at their young age and get two retirements.
because they've all met the criteria to reach the NFL pension. So, you know, it's a smart move, even though they might not have gotten to the Super Bowl or considered champions, whatever the case. But Patrick Willis, personally, with Patrick Willis, I think it's a deal of he did not want to be in that organization anymore. He'll come back in a year or two and play for somebody else. I think he saw what was going on in the 49ers organization, because out here, there's a lot of stuff being said. And he was like, you know what? Okay, I'd rather retire, rehab for another year, year and a half, and go somewhere else and play a couple more years and then finally retire. But there's some stuff going on in San Francisco that's going to lead them to the bottom of the NFC West and quite possibly towards the bottom of the NFL. So that's what I think about that.
Okay. What about you, Black?
My goodness. I remember Sean Jerry with that video with the coach when he first got there. And he was just bumbling and stumbling. I don't even blame Patrick Willis for the time. I know any of these other guys, man. Football is a violent sport. You want to be able to walk when you're like 40, 50, 60 years old. So I don't blame any of these guys for the time early.
Okay. Well, we do have a resident 49er fan, I think, if I'm not mistaken, jumping in here. I think we have Mr. Lance, NFL Exporter, jumping in here. And Lance, we were talking about the guys that retired, but I want to get your thoughts on that first, and then we're going to talk about one of your guys who left the team to go to another organization. Talk to me about the guys that retired. Worlis, Patrick Willis, Jake Locker.
Yeah, honestly, I have to agree 100% with Victor. I think the things that not only have gone on this offseason, but a tumultuous last year, I think just led to Patrick Willis, you know, not having a desire anymore. You know, it's not just about what we see on Sunday. You figure how much film, how much room he puts in studying film, the weight room, practice. You know, a lot of these guys, they have families, you know, wives, children. And you know, at the end of the day, no matter what it is, if you don't have a desire to do it anymore, especially, you know, these guys are retiring. Let's face it, they're millionaires. So, I mean, if it's $5 million, $6 million, $10 million, whatever the case may be, you know, it's not like these guys are walking away financially in dire straits. And, you know, we see it all the time. I think a lot of these guys, you know, as Victor alluded to, as Black alluded to, you know, injuries, you know, guys want to make sure that they can spend their latter years in their 40s and 50s, being in good physical condition. You know, church, I know, definitely plays a part within some of these guys, and it may not be solely church, but just wanting to do things within the communities. And a lot of these guys are business savvy. You know, you'll see them on NFL Network or one of the many different radio stations or TV stations where they're able to earn money. And a lot of these guys make smart investments or are just in a position due to the money they have and the public recognition to be able to make some things happen in some different business endeavors. So, you know, I think definitely for Patrick Willis being a 49ers fan, seeing what's happened to this organization in a matter of years. And, I mean, I always talk about how quickly these windows open and close in the NFL. I mean, you're talking about a team that last year was decapitated. They played, you know, nine games without Willis, the whole season without Bowman, nine games without Alden Smith. The offense was in shambles. I think we all know now that Jim Harbaugh wasn't there. You heard grumbles from the tight end training camp started that guys weren't buying into what was going on in the locker room. People weren't happy with contracts, and it just got to be a situation where you take a team that made it to three straight NFC championship games. You figure all that talent that they had on their roster last year, if they could have been healthy and, you know, the offense could have ran the way that we accustomed to seeing it, which was more of a power running football team. There's no question in my mind that they would have been right back in the thick of another Super Bowl hunt. So, yeah, man, I think it's unfortunate. But when you don't have a zeal, a desire, loyalty, you know, we talk about that. I mean, if you're seeing players like Frank Gore being shipped off and things of that nature, you know, it's not going to make you happy. You know, that's what Worldless and Locker. Locker, like you said, if he wants a starting job, he's not going to get that anywhere. He hasn't done anything to prove that he can even stay healthy enough to be that. And for Worldless, you know, same thing. I think it's just a situation where, think about it, these guys been playing this game since Little League football. It's something they love doing. So if they're walking away from it, you know, they're looking at having some other priorities that are more important than being on the football field. And, again, that physical wear and tear certainly can add up on you. So to be able to walk away and actually enjoy your money and enjoy your family, you know, I think it's something that guys are starting to consider, you know, more and more depending on situation.
All right, let's go. Since we got Lance on here, I want to get his reaction on this, that one of your best offensive linemen in the NFL, talking about Mike Lupati, who signed a deal with your division rival, the Cardinals, for 5 years, five-year deal. What's your thoughts on Mike Lupati signing with the Cardinals? We'll go with Lance, and then Victor, Mike, and then Jeff.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's rare. You really don't see that too often. But I think that, you know, you got to look at it from a business standpoint as well. And as much as a fan, you want players to be loyal to your team, I think these players, they take a look at now at, you know, we can all honestly say that these organizations, these front offices, they certainly aren't loyal to these players. And the first opportunity they get to say to the guy is having a non-productive year and underpay him or treat him any type of way. So I think you probably looked at the landscape of the NFC, looked at his own team, the 49ers, falling apart. Looking at a team like Arizona, who has a desperate need to upgrade at the offensive lineman position. And so, you know, for him, probably, you know, not having to move too far as far as his home situation is concerned and being valued. Like I said, Arizona's a team that wants to run a football better. He's not the best in pass protection, but he's certainly going to help stabilize that front line. He's a Pro Bowl offensive lineman. So, you know, I hate to see him go, but I think things like that. I mean, Patrick Willis is looking around and saying, wow, I've lost my head coach. I've lost Frank Gore. I've lost Mike Iupati. You know, who knows how happy or disgruntled Vernon Davis and Michael Crabtree are there. So it's just one huge mess. But I think personally for Mike Iupati and for the Arizona Cardinals, excellent fit. They need help on the offensive line. He's a guy who is of a Pro Bowl caliber, still very young. He's about to reach the prime years of his career. And so there's no doubt from that standpoint, you know, taking my being a San Francisco 49er fan out of the situation, just looking at it from a pure football standpoint, excellent pickup for Arizona. And it's a good fit for Iupati going to a team where he can make an immediate impact and pay immediate dividends.
I agree. I think that Arizona has the coolest coach ever in Bruce Arians. And Bruce Arians is committed to the run. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. He likes to throw the ball to Fitz. He likes to get Carson Palmer in there. But he wants to run the ball. And at one point, he wanted to get Frank Gore. So that would have been a very good piece of the pie to get the offensive guard along with the running back. That didn't take place. That also leads me to believe that Andre Ellington and a couple of those other running backs back there, they're not going to be too safe because they're looking for a running back. But it also tells me that whoever the running back is, they're going to run to that side. Because as Lance said, Iupati is a mauler. He isn't a pass blocker that well, but he's a mauler when it comes to running the ball. He'll destroy the defensive lineman and make his way up to the linebacker. That's pretty good. You get him with another strong offensive guard or tackle, and it's curtains for that run game or that run defense. Very good move. Again, this is another sign to me that the 49ers are in shambles. They just released Stevie Johnson. Crabtree's a free agent. They're not going to bring back. They signed Torrey Smith. You know, the 49ers are lost.
pretty much, and a lot of people are leaving that sinking ship that can leave that sinking ship. So I think it's a very good signing for the Cardinals and a very big loss for the 49ers.
First, let me say, what's up to Lance? I think it's the first time we've been on air together. I didn't know he was a 49ers fan, but look here, man. You got a baseball player playing quarterback. These things trying to happen, man. I don't blame the party for rolling. I don't blame Patrick Weber for retiring.
Wow.
You had Randy Moss. Randy Moss was talking about, yeah, the gas rolls so high, he fractured my finger. I don't understand why he committed to Kaepernick, but hey, not my team, so I'm not concerned, but I think it's a good move from the party, man. Get your money while you can.
Jeff.
Yeah, you know, all these transactions, free agent signings within a division, get very interesting because the Niners really do look like the Titanic. They signed Darnell Dockett from the Cardinals, which leads me to believe I don't think Justin Smith is coming back next year. And
He retired. Jeff.
Oh, he did. He made it official.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he had a very nice long career. Dockett also has been in the league a long time. He's coming off an injury, but he was very healthy before last year. The Niners were able to win despite a Kaepernick the past couple of years, but I don't see that continuing. And I remember when not that long ago when the Niners drafted Iapati and Anthony Davis in the first round, and of course, you know, these critics were saying, criticize this, like, that's how you build a team. And it worked out pretty well. So, it looks bad all around for the Niners.
I just want to say real quick, what's the name? Jonathan Cooper is the other guard that they have out in Arizona that they're looking to pair Iupati up with. You know, he got injured his first year, a little slow learning around the curve, but he's got a lot of upside. He was Arizona's first round draft pick back in 2012.
Okay. All right. I neglected to say this, that the Colts finally waived Trent Richardson. And quite naturally, Stevie Johnson got released and Dwayne Bowe got released. And I just saw this. I should have said something earlier, but because when we were talking about the Dolphins, looks like that Jordan Cameron is going to be going to the Miami Dolphins. He's going to sign a 2-year deal worth about $15 million. No, it's not going to be that. That's what they originally thought that he was going to get with the Browns, but it looks like he's going to be signing actually with the Dolphins. And I guess the particulars money-wise is to be announced later, but that's just another added weapon for Ryan Tannehill. In the passing game, these teams, especially in AFC East, are loading up. So it's going to be wild and woolly in the AFC East. All right, let's get to a few other free agent signings, and hopefully we can try to get to some trades. We're in a overtime. I want to talk about two guys this time. One's going to the Chicago Bears. The other one's going to the Chiefs. Why I would want to go to the Chiefs, and especially in that position, is beyond me. It's clear that he either likes his coach a lot or they gave him enough money to be able to deal with the quarterback that they have. I'm talking about first, Pernell McPhee, who went to the Chicago Bears for 5 years, $40 million, and then also Jeremy Maclin, who went to the Kansas City Chiefs for a 5-year contract with a $55 million deal. So he's getting $11 million a year, approximately, to the Kansas City Chiefs with a quarterback that didn't throw a touchdown pass to their wide receivers all season. Since 2013, believe it or not. I forget how many games that is, but it's more than 16 games that a wide receiver has not caught a touchdown pass from Alex Smith. I'm going to go to Jeff first. talk about those two guys, Pernell McPhee and Jeremy Maclin, and then I go to Victor, Black, and then Lance.
To me, McPhee, I don't know. I think he's looking like he's getting overpaid by the Bears. Hey, good for him. I just don't see it. And, you know, Macklin's a very good receiver. I mean, everybody noticed the Chiefs' wide receivers weren't scoring touchdowns last year. And I'll admit, I didn't see them enough to figure out why. I'm not sure if it was play calling or what. But I don't think it's law averages. It's not going to continue. Macklin's going to get a few touchdowns as long as he's healthy. I can't see him going a year without a touchdown.
Well, Jeff, I love you like a brother, but you need to quit smoking that good stuff. Because Alex Smith is the quarterback out there. So he might not get a touchdown. If you notice, he tried to get those screens to Dexter McCluster, Dexter didn't get any touchdowns either. The problem here is Macklin got nostalgic. He wanted to go home. He wanted to go to Missouri. He wanted to go to Reed. He's going to be where he wants to be, make his money, and have a subpar end of his career. So to say that he's going to get four or five touchdowns, I don't think so, guy. Not until they get a quarterback in there that's not afraid to throw the ball deep. My prime example, look what happened when Mark Sanchez got in at quarterback and Nick Foles was out. Same style of quarterback. Can't get it to him deep. So what did Sanchez do? He threw to the other receivers and let them play around and do what they got to do. Macklin's thing is speed. So therefore, you know, he went to KC because he wanted to go home. Now, signing McPhee and you put the salary, not the salary, you put the franchise tag on Justin Houston and you've got Tamba Ali, that's not a bad thing, but you got to remember they lost and probably have lost for the rest of his career, Eric Berry. So who's on the back end punishing the receivers? Nobody. The front, the seven-man rush, oh, that's good. That's good. But nobody's going to be able to cover the rest of those cats. So I think Kansas City needs to focus in on their DBs and a safety. There's maybe one or two decent safeties in this draft that can come in. And God bless Eric Berry. Hope he gets better. Hope he's able to come back. But right now, that's the main concern. I think good move on both of them for the money, but it's not going to help them win the AFC West. It's just not long as your boy Peyton Manning's there and he's got his weapons. Oh, and Jerry, I hate to throw a little thunder, but I'm drafting Owen Daniels. You'll be a fool, people, to let Owen Daniels get out of the fourth, fifth round. I'm just saying. But that's it.
Okay. What about you there, Black?
Funny guy that Victor is talking fantasy football.
Yes, he is. He's got to talk it because he sure can't play it.
Hey, I got championships. I got more championships than all y'all. So y'all, it don't matter. Look, check the resume. But I'm getting. You know what? You know, I'm glad all of us on the line.
You sound like a whiny. You know what? Don't you know
exactly.
That? You sound like somebody whining. You know, and something that sounds like a witch. You sound like a whiny witch.
I sound like Ryan Mallett. I sound like Ryan Mallett and the entire Houston Texans team. That's what I sound like.
All right.
This is the McPhee deal. The McPhee deal, that's going to be hit or miss down there in Chicago. Jeremy Maclin, I hope there was a clause in that contract. He's allowed to bring a folding chair with him onto the field because after he winds his rope, that's the only thing he's going to be able to do is put that chair up because no balls are coming his way. But like I said, you got to get your money.
$11 million a year. 55, man. Wow, that's a lot of money for Jeremy Maddox.
Gotta get your money, man.
Wow. Lance, your thoughts for Noel McPhee and Jeremy Maclin?
Yeah, I don't even know who McPhee is, so I really don't have.
Okay.
I don't know.
Baltimore linebacker. He had 11.5 sacks. Led Baltimore in sacks last year.
Right.
He led Baltimore in sacks last year.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
yeah, Baltimore linebacker.
I guess playing besides Terrell Suggs and Elvis Dumervil and Nada and Jernigan and Upshaw and Mosley, I guess with that front seven, certainly possible. Yeah, I don't know who this guy is, so, I mean, whatever. We'll see. I mean, basically the way it's working out, guys are getting max deals. So, Chicago, I guess they're just going to do anything possible to try to help that defense. But I'll focus on Jeremy Maclin. I think that for Kansas City – you got to try to improve your offense and get as good as you can. So, all things considered, good move for them. You know, they're desperately needing help at wide receiver. We all know that Dwayne Bowe had completely fallen off the earth, and after him, there was nobody. You know, Jonathan Ball, when they drafted from Pitt a couple years ago, he didn't pan out. We know that Donnie Avery is not a legitimate receiver. And they just don't have anybody at wide receiver. They haven't had anybody at wide receiver for a long time in Kansas City. So, you like Kansas City trying to do anything and everything possible to upgrade your passing game. But I think this is where it gets funny and where, you never want to say that a player is getting paid too much. But in this particular case, I don't think that what he's getting paid is going to be produced, and in Kansas City is going to see those results on the football field. You're talking about, that type of money. I don't see Jeremy Maclin catching 80-plus passes, 1,200-plus yards, 10-plus TDs. That's what that money merits. And ultimately what ends up happening to some of these players is they go to a team, they get a large contract, they're not able to put up duplicate numbers. A lot of times, like for Maclin, it's going to be the system. Maybe Andy Reid tries to switch his scheme up a little bit. I doubt it. He wants to do the dink and dub West Coast offense. So, I mean, perhaps Maclin, being a guy with some nice wiggle in his step, certainly has some good speed, can excel. I'll give it to Maclin. He is not a one-trick pony. He certainly runs some nice combination routes that I see, not necessarily underneath, but intermediate-type stuff. But ultimately, Victor made a great point that Alex Smith, and it's not so much about, we've seen that with Mark Sanchez, it's not so much about not having the arm strength to get it downfield, but being able to throw the football accurately deep. And so I think that Jeremy Maclin, to a certain degree, may be limited, but we're going to see what he's made of. You know, he is going to be the number one option there. Since they let Bo go, he's going to draw the top vendor. And we'll see, we'll see how it works out. But I think that all things considered, it was a good move, Kansas City. And I think how we were talking about with the situation in San Francisco, I'm thinking Jeremy Maclin is looking at the big picture saying, okay, they let Deshaun go last year. We're letting McCoy go. They let Foles go. He probably don't want to be there anymore. And I can't blame him because the Philadelphia Eagles and, I mean, that's what I've seen from Chip Kelly at this point. I didn't even know he had that much control over the team. But I question that because I look at Philadelphia's front office pre-Chip Kelly, and they drafted a great group, a great crop of young talent. I mean, to have Nick Foles, Shady McCoy, Jeremy Maclin, Deshaun Jackson, prior to that, Brent Celek, and then you brought Zach Ertz into the fold. So this was a team that –
I think I lost Lance.
Oh,
hello?
Man.
Yeah.
Being
right.
25, 26 years old in the prime of their career, and they're not there anymore. So that's just very interesting. But I think it's a good move overall for Kansas City. We'll see if the money they paid him is going to translate to his stats and his impact on the football field.
All right. I want to talk about three guys this time, and then we're going to try to and the free agent talk and talk about these trades that took place. Got three guys, all on the two on the
defensive side of the ball, one on the offensive side of the ball. Talking about Jared Ardrick, Terrence Knighton, Vic knows who that is, and Rodney Hudson. Hudson signed a deal with the Raiders for $44 million for 5 years. Knighton, Rodney Hudson. He signed a deal with the Oakland Raiders for $44.5 million over 5 years. He's a center. Terrence Knighton, who's a defensive tackle from Broncos, signed a one-year deal for $4 million with the Redskins. And I don't have the particulars on Jared Ardrick, who signed. He's a defensive tackle. I think he's a defensive tackle. Yes, defensive tackle with the Jacksonville Jaguar. That's where it's going. I'm going to go with Jeff. Hopefully he knows at least a couple of these players. Probably Pot Roast, who's Terrence Knighton. I think Vic knows him. In fact, I'll go to Vic first, then Jeff, Black, and then Lance.
All right.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay, Jeff. It's okay. Here's the deal. I really want this episode on spot on radio, so I don't want to take it over another 20, 30 minutes, so I'll be brief with my statement. The only real impactful player is going to be Pot Roast. Why? Because he's working on a very short deal, and he's trying to say, okay, well, I can do it anywhere. So along with the young talent in D.C., I think he'll have a lot of success. Now, I'm not sure if they're going to a 4-3 or if they're going to stay in a 3-4, but I think that's a good move for him out of Denver since they're going to change the scheme. The Raiders overpay all the time, so that's no big deal to me. The kid they signed, not that impactful. Young, and that's what I think Reggie McKenzie's trying to do. He's trying to make sure that they're young. Talent they can groom, but that's a lot of money for a D tackle that really hasn't proven that much. But that's all I got on the situation.
Jeff,
you know, I don't really have much to say. I mean, there's been so many moves; those moves kind of got lost in the shuffle. I did notice the Raiders signed Malcolm Smith, the linebacker from Seattle, who was a Super Bowl MVP, which makes it look like even though Al Davis is gone, they still like overpaying for former Super Bowl MVPs. And it's just something that continues. And until that kind of thing gets straightened out, the Raiders will continue to be a joke. Oh, guys, it's been a pleasure. I got to go. Everybody,
right.
It's been great. Take it easy.
You too. We don't have Black anymore, so I'll go to Lance. Lance, your thoughts.
Oh, man, I was just about to shout Black out. All right, on the next go-round. Terrence Knighton. I mean, if you can't address your secondary, which is the Redskins' obvious glaring weakness, then you want to try to get as much invest as much in your front seven as possible. Redskins last year did great against the run. I think they ended the year maybe seventh against the run. Knighton is versatile. I like that. He can stop the run. He can also create pressure. So, with so many moves going on, you know, Victor will be able to kind of fill in. You know, I don't know if Arakpo and Kerrigan and Jason Hatcher are still going to be there. But if so, along with Knighton, they got a nice front seven going. So, I mean, you know, definitely just trying to do as much as possible to create pressure and stop the run and get in offenses in third and long situations to help their secondary. So, one-year deal, I don't think there's much risk in that. I think, like Victor said, you know, on a one-year deal, you're definitely going to play your heart out. The kid who went to the Raiders, I don't know. I guess Stepnowski is going to be moving on. I don't know. Some of these teams, I don't get how basically you let somebody go who's proven. You know, Stepnowski's been a beast for the Raiders coming out of Penn State since he's been a center there. So, obviously, with them picking this other kid up, he's not there anymore. But, you know, it'll be another day. I know you guys talked about DeMarco and some other big names. I wasn't quite off yet. But, I guess it's a similar situation that I'm looking at. You know, Philly, they let go of McCauley, but then you bring Murray in for $42 million. Doesn't make sense to me. You know, you're basically swapping out players for the same, and McCoy has been the most productive running back in the NFL over the last 5 years, but it's kind of the same to me out in Oakland. I mean, you're paying this, I don't want to say unproven, but you're paying this guy a lot of money. Why couldn't you pay your own center, who certainly is one of the better centers in the AFC? For Jerry Udrick, good move. I like what's going on in Jacksonville. You know, their front office seems to be up to speed. We know last year, you know, I don't know if those guys are still there, but they brought in Chris Clemens and Red Bryant from Seattle.
Right.
You know, second half of the year, Jacksonville's defense played much better. Gus Bradley had that defense playing. So they're another team that obviously has issues in the secondary. But, you know, again, bolstering up that front line as much as possible. And Udrick has that same type of versatility. He's good against the run, but also quick and athletic enough to get pressure on the quarterback. So I like, you know, what Jacksonville is doing, bringing in veteran, proven guys. They're beefing up in the trenches. And obviously bringing over Julius Thomas is going to be a huge help for a young quarterback like Blake Bortles' development. So I like what Jacksonville did by grabbing Udrick. And I think it helps, too, when anytime you can get a player who doesn't have to move too far. So he's not out of his comfort zone. He's just going right from Miami to Jacksonville.
All right, let's transition over to from free agency to trades. And before I get to these trades that took place, and some of them were like took a lot of people by huge surprise, a source with the knowledge of the situation tells ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, the Saints appear to have placed every member of their roster on the trade block but Drew Brees and Brandon Cooks. That means the report, the Saints want a complete retool. Everyone but Brees and Cooks. Now, quite naturally, they just got rid of Ben Grubbs, and they just dealt Jimmy Graham, like we're going to talk about, and they put Kenny Stills on the trading block also. You guys also know that the Benson family is going through some turmoil of their own selves. Between the father, the stepmother, and his kids and grandkids. So that organization, from the front office to actual players on the field, is going to be going to a huge turnover. Speaking of turnover, what happened as soon as free agency day came, the Seattle Seahawks and the New Orleans Saints pulled off one of the surprisingly trades that I have ever seen. That you probably won't see. Well, you probably see it again since free agency and the money that's being thrown around and cap space you have to get under. And the New Orleans Saints are one of the worst cap offenders going, and they're trying to desperately to get under that cap. Traded away their Pro Bowl tight end Jimmy Graham and a fourth round pick in this year's draft to the Seattle receives that. They receive a Jimmy Graham and a fourth round pick from the Saints, and the Saints receive Max Unger, the center for the Seattle Seahawks, and a 2015 first round pick, which will be the 31st overall. What's your thoughts on that one, Lance?
Yeah, it doesn't equate. I mean, I certainly understand that was one of the issues, certainly with New Orleans last year. They did not have the offensive line that they had when Drew Brees was putting up, and that offense was putting up those outstanding numbers at that time. I know that it was Carl Nix. It was Jahari Evans. John Stinkham at tackle. I believe Jonathan Goodwin was at center. So they struggled last year in large part due to an unstable offensive line. And so bringing in Max Unger, I certainly like that. He was a bit injury riddled last year. But I don't see how. Now, I did notice New Orleans did sign Mark Ingram back to a 4-year deal. Looking at all the moves that are taking place, I don't know if Sean Payton and the offense are thinking about coming with a different offensive philosophy featuring the running game. But I would have to suspect that. I mean, when you let a player of Jimmy Graham's caliber go, that is a huge loss. You cannot replace not only his production, but the amount of attention that he draws right. on the football field, especially in the red zone. So I'm looking at that organization, and, I mean, I don't know. Something to me, Jerry, I'm going to have to really look into it, because what it seems like to me is the NFL is headed for, we're like on the front end of it. 5 to 10 years from now, it's so much NFL football started to become like fantasy football. You got so much transaction and moving around in the offseason.
Right.
And what is the use of drafting a player if he is going to potentially turn out the prospect that he was, turn into the star player you thought he was going to be, and when he reaches the prime of his career, you can't even keep him. You can't even build a franchise anymore because you cannot sign. I mean, what do you want teams to do, sign players who aren't good? I mean, you draft, if you draft correctly, players flourish, you're going to end up in a situation where you got a bunch of good players on your team, and you can't afford to retain these guys. So, I mean, I don't care under what circumstance. Then you deal them in your conference. I know they're not in the same division, but I always like to shift. If I'm going to trade somebody, I'm trading you to another conference. Now, those teams still could play. We know it's very easy to Seattle and New Orleans. They may not be on the schedule this year. They may not see each other in the playoffs, but I don't see how trading Jimmy Graham under any circumstance is an even trade-off. So it looks like New Orleans, to me, is taking steps backward. And we also got to factor in Drew Brees. He's up in age. You know, it's not like Drew Brees is 25 or 26 and they've got time to rebuild. You know, Drew Brees got maybe about 2 years left. So I don't know. Maybe they're, you know, preparing for the future. But like you said, you look at that roster now and who he's got to throw the football to. You're talking your guy in Brandon Cooks with his size, where he's got to show that he can be durable and make it through a season. And, you know, I don't know what Kenny Steele's morale will be if he decides to stay or if he doesn't get traded. Outside of that, you've got nobody. So very questionable, very questionable. And on the intern for me for Seattle, great pickup. I think that Jimmy Graham's going to certainly have a big-time impact. If you look into some of the stuff Luke Wilson was able to do, and again, I'm talking about not just catching the football, he's certainly going to draw a lot of attention and allow for Seattle's younger receivers, Curse and Paul Richardson and the big kid in the Super Bowl, you know, and Doug Baldwin. Those guys are going to get a lot of pressure taken off them. So I don't know. Sometimes, Jerry, it seems like to me that teams get over on each other, and I just don't see how New Orleans was comfortable trading their best player away, unless they simply couldn't afford him. And I guess at that point, what can you do but try to get some value back in return?
Victor.
Real quickly, because I'm going to say it. I want this on spot on, so we got like 7 minutes. Good move on Seattle's part. The rich get richer. I said it earlier. Now, Russell Wilson definitely has something in the passing game. The most choice thing he's ever had. Couple that with Marshawn Lynch and that defense, Seattle's no-brainer to me. I would have sent Max Unger as well and a draft pick. I think it's a first-round draft pick, I think.
Yes.
And that's smart. That is smart on their front because they're perennial Super Bowl contenders, whereas New Orleans, they won't be going to the Super Bowl anytime soon with all this upheaval and change. And Lance is right. They're going to switch their philosophy. It will be a run-based offense straight up and down. And I do believe they're going to draft a quarterback in one of the rounds here to replace Drew in a couple of years. Bottom line is this. Jimmy Graham has a better chance at winning a Super Bowl, and I think this was a good PR move for New Orleans to get him out of there and put him on a team that could possibly win a championship. Seattle, like I said, might be going back to the Super Bowl this year with that one addition, regardless of the Maxwell situation, him even going to Philly. That's it.
I want to talk about the Philly and the St. Louis Rams trade. The Rams get Nick Foles, a 2015 fourth-round pick, and a 2016 second-round pick, while the Eagles receive Sam Bradford, a 2015 fifth-round pick, and a conditional 2016 mid-round pick. Lance, quickly, who do you think won and lost this trade, and your thoughts on the trade? Then Victor.
Yeah. Good move for the Rams, bringing Foles in. Obviously, they're going to have to get him some help at wide receiver, make sure Jake Long fully recovers. But a good move for the Rams. Obviously, getting rid of Bradford's big contract. You know, I think it was time to sever ties. He just, you know, the disappointment was there, bringing a fresh guy. Felt like that for Philadelphia, and I think that's the other thing that plays into these trades and stuff. We don't know what the ulterior motive is. You know, I don't think Bradford has a ton of time left on his contract. If I'm not mistaken, it's pretty huge. So who knows for what reason they got him. But it doesn't seem like, at least to me, that Philadelphia is interested in winning a Super Bowl this year. So I see him more as a – I don't see him as a long-term stay there in Philly.
One small thing. Jake Long was released. So they're moving the second-year tackle that played guard this year out to left tackle. So Jake Long has been released by the Rams, which does not bode well for Nick Foles. But the Rams, in my opinion, got the better of the deal. Straight up, they got rid of a lot of cap space. They got a very good quarterback with young talent around him, and they just got younger. Now, the deal, Philly, you know, Chip Kelly likes these projects, these reclamation projects or whatever. He thinks that these guys are not going to get injured again because of the sports science. Might be the case. But at the same time, he opened a window up for St. Louis to possibly get Mariota and have him sit on the bench for a year or two if Nick Foles does not work out. So with that being said, I also think that Philly's going to trade either Matthews or Murray or even Sproles to move up in the draft. All three of those running backs are not going to be there. And, you know, I questioned Chip Kelly and all these moves before. If he does what I think he's going to do, I'll take everything back that I said. But right now, this was the better move was made by St. Louis.
Like I said, he's not done yet. Don't underestimate Chip Kelly. You know, he's got things rolling, and you'll see come the after the draft to see how much of what he put in place started the ball rolling to see exactly what's the final result going to be. Anyway, last but not least, and I think this is a pretty big trade too. It's not getting as much pelt as the other trades. Detroit Lions and the Baltimore Ravens completed a trade. The Lions receive in replacement of, and this is not in Dominic Sue, but it's a damn good replacement, in Haloti Ngata and a 2015 seventh-round pick. And the Ravens receive a 2015 fourth-round pick and a 2015 fifth-round pick from the Lions. Your thoughts on that, Victor, and then Lance.
Haloti Ngata makes perfect sense. Both of them are nasty. Only difference is Haloti has been dealing with some injuries as of late. But with Nick Fairley gone as well and not likely to return, he's the best option out there for them. And it didn't cost Detroit a lot. Martin Mayhew did a smart thing here. You lose a monster, you get another monster. So we'll see what happens. I think it's a good deal both ways. Haloti was going to be a big cap number for Baltimore in a year or two. So this is a good move. He'll probably extend his career maybe by two or three more years by going to Detroit.
Lance, quickly.
Yeah, definitely. Good move for Detroit. You know, get a proven guy in there to replace Ndamukong Suh. So, you know, obviously, I think he's going to be a good fit. I like him. You definitely be able to bring in a guy who's proven Pro Bowl caliber leadership. I don't know. For the deal to be good for Baltimore, I guess outside of shedding cap room, and that's pretty much what I'm seeing the NFL is boiling down to. It's not about putting a winning franchise together, a dynasty, and winning championships. It's about how everything is based around saving cap room, having cap room. So I certainly hope Baltimore can translate these fourth and fifth round picks. I understand they lost money, but they're going to have to land the right guys. I mean, usually guys in that round, unless you're doing your homework, and I give Baltimore the credit, Ozzie Newsome and those guys have done a great job of drafting and bringing in talent. But fourth and fifth rounders, I don't know. We'll see how it pays off in the long run as far as bringing in players who ultimately, you know, you want to get some type of compensation for letting a guy go who's still got a lot of football left in him.
All right, guys. I appreciate you hanging with me for an extended period of time. I want to thank you, the callers that have been listening. Tune in next week, same time, same place. We'll be talking about the week in sports. Tune in on 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Saturday afternoon when the FSP crew, FSP show, hosted by Vic Gardner and co-hosted by myself, will be in effect. And also 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time where the master plan is on my show on Sunday. With that being said, have a good rest of the week. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll see you later. Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew.